Worship, joking. Humor is also one of my defense mechanisms. Just to save some time, I just want to get my laptop out. Maybe just turn to someone next to you and maybe just share something that you feel the Lord has shown you in worship or during this precious time that we spent in His presence. Your Father, this morning we just stand in awe and wonder of who You are, Lord. And when we get to spend moments like this in Your presence, we just don't want them to stop. Thank You, Lord, for your glorious presence in this place, Holy Spirit, for Your sweet, precious scent that is filling this room at this very moment. And I pray that our ears will truly be open to hear from You this morning, Lord, and that our hearts will be conditioned, Lord, to receive in such a beautiful way that it will grow. Father, come and open our eyes to see the truth, because You are the truth. Come and reveal to us Your truth this morning, Lord, not man's truth, not man's revelation, but Your revelation, Your plan, Your purpose, Your heart for us as Your bride. We lift You up this morning, King Jesus. We worship You. Amen. Amen. Good morning, church. It really is a privilege for me to be here this morning. I get to do this twice in different capacities today, and I do not take it for granted or lightly. It's really a blessing and a privilege to be here this morning to share something that I feel the Lord has placed on my heart for us as a church. That's obviously my message title. Interestingly enough, yesterday at Convergence, one of the main speakers had a very similar title, not completely the same message. I think he might have copied my notes. No, I'm joking. This is a message that I preached it a few weeks ago at Shofar Kleinmond. But as the Lord is, He's very specific, and I cannot just copy and paste something. I tweaked a few things that I felt the Lord has placed on my heart for us as a congregation. And this morning was just such a testimony again of just God's faithfulness for us. For me, I've been here for almost 7 years. And just to see the congregation, all of us, we grow on our spiritual journey. But just to see this church grow, it's a beautiful thing. I get to see this more than you, to see everyone from this side. And it's a beautiful thing to see in worship especially. The fruit is very evident. And I want to encourage, I didn't write this in my notes, but I want to encourage each person in this room today that continue to relentlessly and wholeheartedly pursue the Lord in every aspect of your life, including worship like this. This is not the only worship, but it springs forth something in our hearts when we press in and draw near to the Lord in such a capacity. So continue in that way. That's just for free. So, yeah, what I've got on my heart here this morning, I thought about this a while back, and I don't know about you, but sometimes there are things in life that you go through, and then you want to do certain things in life. You really want to achieve this goal or this plan or this purpose in your life. You do a lot of evaluation, like you want to see change in your life, good change, positive change. If I ask who wants to see good and positive change in their lives, who puts their hand up? Everyone. If you don't put your hand up, please come and pray for me afterwards. We often want to see change in our lives. But then, how willing are we to really do anything to get to that, to see that change in our lives? And I'm asking myself this as well. So if you feel convicted, I feel convicted. It's what the Holy Spirit does. You see, the outcome outweighs the reality of the circumstances of our goal. In other words, it simply just does not make sense for us to put all this effort and time in to achieve certain things, because quite frankly, it's going to be too difficult. Like, I want to get up earlier in the morning. I really cannot get up any earlier than I already do, but I really want to do certain things more. We all have certain goals, certain things we want to do. Say you want to get up, you want to go to the gym, you want to get into better shape for summer. And you get up and you really want your heart, everything inside of you. You want to look good, you want to feel good. That thing is here, you know, you want to commit. But the spirit of Dubai is just too strong and you cannot. Who of you can relate to that? Good. You all agree. We are in agreement. That's a good thing when we are in church. I know I must get fitter. I know I will look good. I will feel better. But the only way to achieve this is to put in the effort. But it's just so much effort. So I'd rather just let it go and make peace with it. But then we have God's glorious word, and there's so much scripture and there's so many millions of directions I can go to with this message today, but I feel the Lord has drawn a little line and a path for us that we can maybe follow today. I want to read for us first from Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, by the testing that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Be transformed. For simplicity this morning, I have highlighted the important words for this message. As I say, scripture is alive and it's always working, and this can go in so many directions. But the line that I feel the Lord is pulling today is, I'm going to speak about a yes. And what is a yes when we say yes to Jesus in our lives? And what does that look like? And the scripture tells us, but be transformed. Now, I love word searches. It really breaks open more things for us in scripture. And I really want to encourage everyone here, don't just do the devotional Bible study. If there's something that jumps out, get an application or a study Bible or something and investigate in that word. The word here, transformed, the Greek word that I have found is metamorpho. You can relate where that comes from. But it means to be transfigured, to change from one thing to another, as simple as that. That's a pretty easy one to understand. But what for me is more incredible is this is the exact same word that is used with Jesus' transfiguration on the Mount. We read that in Matthew 17. That transfiguration is the same word. And it's the same word that the Apostle Paul also uses in Corinthians, to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians, where he says, we all with unveiled faces are being transformed in the same image, the image of Christ. That word transformed. It's pretty powerful when we go back to Romans 12 verse 2, where he says, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So that word really carries weight in us. How? And we are supposed to be transformed in order to respond to what the Lord has done for us. We all with unveiled faces are being transformed in the same image. We've heard that scripture so many times. And we understand when Paul wrote the letter to the Corinthians in the beginning of the year. I want to encourage you as well. We have an incredible sermon series, Pastor Vanner and Pastor Andre. Pastor Vanner shared a lot of it with myself. A few messages and one or two other people about the Corinthian church. And we know the day and age that Paul found himself in when he wrote these letters. We know the type of people that surrounded the apostle in those days. And to put it mildly, these were people who chose their own desires above the Lord's. To put it very mildly. But Paul qualifies this statement with unveiled faces being transformed in the same image with a powerful precursor or antecedent, a powerful one-liner that comes before it. That's why I want to encourage you again, when we read scripture, read it in its totality, in a context. Don't just read one lines. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 16 to 18. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image for one degree from glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is Spirit. There we go. That just puts everything into context. We call to be transformed, but how do we get there? How are we transformed? When we turn to the Lord, the veil is removed. The believer's position, us, as children of the Lord, most of us here, we've given our lives to the Lord, surrendered to Him. We are His children, His sons and His daughters. And our position in Christ, our Lord and Savior, is one of transformation from our old sinful ways, the way we used to be, to a new creation. We understand that. But the beautiful thing is what the Scripture is telling us. When we turn to the Lord, the veil of sin, the veil that separated us from God is removed. And then His glory is revealed in our lives. In the Lord's presence, just like we were this morning, just like we are still this morning in the Lord's presence, that veil of sin that separates us from God was removed through Jesus Christ, and we are in Christ. And the beautiful thing is that transformation produces a fruitful calling on all of our lives. So if you think you were saved and that's it, I've got news for you. You've got a calling. The Lord has called you to do specific things for Him, to live out your life. Amen. To serve Him. It's a beautiful calling that God calls us to, but we have to choose. We have to turn to the Lord. We have to respond in light of God's mercies. We have to turn to the Lord. We have to say, yes, Lord. We have to say, yes, Lord. What are we saying yes to? When we say, yes, Lord, what are we saying yes to? The other day I read this interesting quote, and let me just get it here quickly. When we say yes, I'm going to try and remember it out of my head. When we say yes to the stuff we know is not for us, we miss out on the stuff that we know God created just for us. I'm going to say that again, and I'm going to try to remember it again. When we say yes to the things that are not for us, we are missing out on the things we know that God created just for us. Now, I'm going to take myself as an example. I've been working with youngsters, youth ministry, most of my saved life, and I can truly tell you it's a privilege and it's a blessing. And it really humbles you, but it's incredible, especially if you want to grow spiritually. So if you want to join on the youth team as well, you can come and see me afterwards. I'm just putting that in there. But just the amount of things that our youth today deal with, the challenges that they face. We all face things. We're all sitting here. But there's a little extra pressure when you're huddled together with a lot of the same people, and everyone has different opinions and different rules, and there's a lot of rules that guide you. And what I've come to see in youth ministry is just the absolute incredible love the Lord has for these young people, and how they spiritually grow when they commit to the Lord. There's a few of them walking around here and serving in church, and it's wonderful to see how the Lord has really grabbed hold of their hearts, and how their lives have turned around because they said yes to Jesus. Now, to get back to my previous statement, when we say yes to the things we know are not for us, we miss out on the things we know God has made just for us. I was one of those that said no to the Lord as a youngster. I did not have people imparting. I did not allow people to impart the Lord's wisdom, to impart His love, to show and reveal His love to me as a youngster. I distanced myself from those things. And being almost 15, 16 years in youth ministry, I've come to realize I have missed out on a lot of things in my life. I can't say where I would have been. That's limiting God. But I would have had a different life growing up. I would have probably had the same amount of difficulties, but I would have faced them much better. I missed out on a lot of things because I said yes to all the wrong things and no to the Lord. I said yes to things that are comfortable to me. I said yes to things that do not cause pain in my life. I played it safe. I said yes to things that pleased me. I said yes to things that weren't very hard. I said yes to things that I could mostly control in my life. Now, who of you are like me? You sometimes, in retrospect, you reevaluate a certain part of your life and think, how could you have done things better? Who of you have done that in your life? It's a good thing. Just don't get stuck in that mentality. Always move on from there. But it's a good thing. Now, I've done this exercise with myself, and I've come to notice, looking back at how I lived my life, the way that I lived my life, it was actually in root driven by fear. It was driven out of fear. A fear of discomfort, a fear of pain, a fear of hurt, a fear of man, a fear of failure, a fear of not being in control. Some of us relate to those things in our lives. You see, but it all changed the day that I truly encountered the Lord. It all changed the day that I accepted the Lord in my life, the day that I placed these things before Him, and I placed everything before Him. And the day that I stepped into that realm of, or that paradigm where I placed the Lord first, starting to think of the things that I have made it, I have come to realize that my old life, the way it was looking like, was driven by fear, but there was also something missing. And I could see that evidence, the faith in the Lord was not there. Because I truly did not know Jesus. But growing in Him and walking my road and my journey out with Him, I soon began to realize that, first of all, I am not perfect. But I came to realize no one is perfect, only God is perfect. And I came to realize that He still loves me. But I had to say yes. I had to say yes to Him. Isaiah 6 verse 8, it's a beautiful little one-liner scripture. And the prophet writes there, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. When we say yes to God, we stand before Him and we don't say, yes, Lord, send me. We say, here I am, God, reporting for duty. Yes, Lord, I'm here, send me. That's not just my mind committing, that's my heart committing. And that's what I believe the Lord is calling us to. Many of us, we're going through all different things in life. We all do. And we sometimes put certain things in the Lord's hands, but sometimes we still hold on to certain things. But when we say, yes, Lord, here I am, we place everything in His hands and we follow Him and we trust Him along the way. Ask, what do you need me to do, Lord? Where do you want me to go? How must I go about this? I don't know, but you know. I'm not even going to try and do this on my own, but you do. You know. How do we know when we are at a yes moment in life, when we must say yes to the Lord? You think you've committed to the Lord. And when I say a yes moment, it's not about accepting Jesus in your life only. It's about understanding what that means. When you have accepted Him in your life and walking in that on your road. How do I know I'm at a moment like that? Well, look at your life now. Let's look at our lives for a few moments now. What are we reporting to? What are we saying yes for now? Am I reporting to power, to money, lust, fame, success? You can put in the blank whatever you want. Sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes we report and say yes to things like sadness, worry. Am I reporting to fear? I was reporting to fear. And I came to realize in Christ that there's no place for that. There's no place for a son or a daughter to report to fear and to take instruction from fear. Because we have not been given a spirit of fear. Amen? Matthew 6:33-34. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Christopher said it so beautifully this morning as well. We just get the order wrong sometimes. Our intentions are good, but it must spring forth from a heart that is connected to the Lord, and these things will follow. We do not have to do things to impress the Lord so that we can receive things. We do it out of a response to who he is. When we said yes, we understand who he is, we trust him in faith, and from there, the good things follow in life. And I'm not just speaking about tangible things like money. I'm speaking about things money cannot buy. Peace, faith, hope, love, joy. Jesus is telling us that when we seek him first, the things that please God first, when we put those things in our lives first, it reveals the kingdom of the Lord in our lives. And we don't have to be driven by earthly foundation or earthly philosophies or earthly ways of thinking, the patterns of this world. When I truly start surrendering my life to the Lord, I become aware of my imperfection. It's a humble thing. I become aware that I am fallible. I'm a human being. For some of you that are surprised, yes, I also make mistakes. We all do. And I started to let go of the things that were pulling me down. I started to say yes to Jesus. And when you say yes to Jesus, an incredible thing happens in your life. An incredible thing happens in your life. Discomfort becomes an adventure. Self-seeking becomes self-sacrifice. Self-preservation, that becomes self-giving. Fear becomes faith. Notice, when you say yes to the Lord, things aren't perfect. They're definitely not perfect. But with that decision, saying yes to the Lord, the other side of saying yes is exciting. It's faith-filled, hope-inspired. Because the Lord is with us. We know this. We just constantly have to be reminded about it. Scripture is full of it. The Lord is with us. Philippians 1:21, that's one of my favorite scriptures. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Try saying that when you drive behind a rental car or a learner driver in Hermanus. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You're going through a tough time? To live is Christ, to die is gain. This thing is temporary that you are facing. To live is Christ. That's eternal. Life in Jesus Christ is eternal. Yes, we face afflictions on this earth. Yes, we face trials. Yes, we face tribulations. We know these things. But to live is Christ and to die is gain. When I lay my life down to the Lord and I say yes to them, I get so much more than I could have ever gotten in this world by saying yes to the world. By saying yes to Jesus and not to ourselves, we turn to the Lord and the veil is lifted. We become more like him. I don't know about you, but I want to become more like Jesus. What are we saying yes to in life? Are we saying yes to Jesus in all areas, all aspects? It's a simple message, just phrased differently. But the concept is the same. Now, make no mistake, we've touched on it, and as most of us here know, When you say yes to the Lord, that does not mean it's a perfect life. Your yes will be challenged. That's what I put down here. Your yes is going to be challenged. A friend of mine recently preached a message, actually Dion in Shelford Kleinmond a while back, just before I preached on this. He preached a message called When the promise and the parcel does not match. Who of you have ordered something on Shein or Timu or any of those things? I have never done it, but I've heard the funniest stories and I've seen the funniest things. You order a medium black hoodie and it comes here and it's this size. The promise and the parcel does not match. You had a certain expectation and man, this is not what I signed up for. This is not what I signed up for. I signed up for peace and joy and love and we are all those incredible things now. Now all of a sudden I'm convicted of certain things in my life. Why do I feel guilty and shame about something that I've always had in my life? I've given my life to the Lord. You sign up for something, but the expectation did not match the reality. Church, let me tell you, when we say yes to Jesus, the devil is not happy. For those of you that did not know that, disclaimer, when you say yes to Jesus, the devil is not happy. We had a great privilege this week to spend time with Dr. Courtney Packer, who was one of the speakers, as I said earlier, at Convergence. And amongst many other things that I've written down what he said something that he actually quoted from Martin Luther. And he said, every time God builds a church, the devil builds a chapel. Every time God builds a church, the devil builds a chapel. The enemy, if we are in the world, my one son actually earlier in the week told me this. He leaves you alone when you do all the wrong things, the devil now. But when you start doing the right things for some reason, he's blowing in your ear. And we as believers need to be aware of that. But we don't have to run from him. We don't have to allow him to dictate what we are going through. Every time we say yes to the Lord, the enemy is walking around like a prowling lion, as scripture tells us, ready to devour us. Every time we say yes to the Lord, he's there. But scripture tells us further, that scripture is in 1 Peter 5, that we can resist the devil, we can resist him by standing firm in faith. By standing firm in faith. This morning I'm just saying yes to Jesus, but that's what it means. Trusting God on who he is, what he has done for us, responding in light of his mercy by what he has done for us, by standing firm in his faith, we can resist the devil. And he will flee from us. He does flee from us when we resist him. Did you know that? When you say yes to the Lord's call on your life, you will indeed face challenges. But like things like doubt and fear is going to creep in. But we are thoroughly encouraged by scripture. By God's living word. That this should not stop us from daily reporting to duty. Reporting for duty to the Lord. Matthew 10 verse 18 to 20 is a powerful little example for us. There are so many, but this one for me just stood out. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, says Jesus, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you, do not worry about how or what you should speak. For it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. I don't know about you again, but for me that's great encouragement. If the Lord tells me, do not worry. Don't worry what you're going to say. Because I'm going to speak through you. Because you're standing firm in the faith. You're turning to me. You're fixing your eyes on me. And the veil now is gone. No matter how valid of an excuse you have or think you can justify in this world to not say yes to Jesus, his faithfulness endures forever. He's the one who called us. He does the qualification, not our enemies. No matter what reason or limit or ceiling you put here for you to say yes to the Lord, to commit to Him, to fully trust Him. That's not for us to do. The Lord qualifies us. He called us. He's the one that decides. And when we say yes to the Lord, I want to encourage all of you. Like I did when I did this retrospect exercise, don't be a prisoner of your past. Don't allow past failures to dictate future yeses to the Lord. Moses killed a man. Joseph was sold into slavery. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. Peter betrayed Jesus. Paul persecuted Jesus. But they all said yes. And then God. And then God just filled in the blank. We are all products of our past. You might have heard this, but we are not prisoners of it. We can move on. Our past does not define who we are. Our identity is in Christ. He defines who we are. Remember, not doesn't matter who you are, but whose you are. That's not mine. I don't claim that one, but it's true. But eventually we have to decide for ourselves. Are we saying yes to our circumstances or are we saying yes to the Lord? I'm here to encourage you today to remember whose you are and what He did. When God calls us, He's already gone through your CV. He's already done the aptitude test for those of you that have gone through for certain jobs. Sometimes you need specific psychometric tests to see if you can do this job. God's done those things. He's called you. Just say yes. Just say yes and see how He starts using you. See how you start operating in His kingdom. And I want to end off with this. Remember who is the one that is calling you. I want to call up the band, but then I have to stop preaching. So maybe Cynthia or John, just put something at the back. Remember who is the one that is calling you, church. Remember who is the one that is calling you. To who do we say yes to? Exodus 3 verse 10 to 12. This is Moses at the burning bush. It says, come now, therefore, I will send you to the Pharaoh that you may bring my people to the children of Israel out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you. Now there's a big time span between those two scriptures. From there, I'm going to Acts. But this just gives us an indication of what a yes looks like. Yeah, this being testified. This Moses, Luke is writing, this Moses whom they rejected, saying, who made you the ruler and judge? This man God sent as both a ruler and redeemer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him at the bush. This man led them out, performing wonders and signs in Egypt and the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. One yes. Just can I ask that you stand? I want to pray for us this morning. Father, this morning we just come and we stand before you, humbled, Lord, just by who you are. For I'm so reminded that in our lives it's so easy for us to lose focus on your power, on your might. Sometimes, Father, we just look for certain aspects of who you are, and if we don't find those, we lose our way. And Father, this morning I pray for a complete perspective of who you are. Maybe for some of us here, we need to revisit just the holiness of God, who He is in our lives. Maybe for some of us, we need to understand that He does love us and He did send His Son to die for us on a cross. Just this morning, ask yourself, what is keeping you from saying yes to the Lord? I'm saying, yes, Lord, here I am, reporting for duty. Send me. Where do you need me? What must I do? Just as we're praying this morning, if there's anyone here that you've never actually said yes to Jesus ever in your life, you've never allowed him to come and enter into your life and to rule and to reign and to take preeminence of your life as your Lord and your Savior. If you are here today and you want to say yes to Jesus for the very first time, I want to ask you if you can just keep your hand raised. Keep your hand raised just for a few moments. If there's anyone here like that this morning. Maybe some of you, you're raising your hands in your heart. That's okay. I want to encourage you. Take this step. Father, I thank you for each person that responded to that call. That's not man's call, Lord, that is your call. And we pray, Father, for every heart that responded now to become aware of your presence and to receive your love, your self-sacrificial love in their lives as they commit themselves to follow you. I pray, Lord, that you will bless them, that they will come to understand that in you there is purpose, there is a reason, there is hope, there is a new life. Thank you for that gift, Jesus. Now this morning, church, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But if you're one of those that, like me in preparation, come to that idea that there's certain areas in your life that you just don't say yes to the Lord to anymore. You report to other things. I want you to bring your heart before the Lord. We're just going to take 2 minutes. Just bring those things before the Lord and ask him to come and remove the things that are keeping you from stepping over that line and trusting him and walking in that fullness that he has planned for you. Thank you, Jesus, that you are here with us. Thank you that you hear every cry, every heart, every thought, every prayer that just went up. And that you're not distant, Lord, that you respond to those. You respond to those cries. I pray, Lord, for our brothers and sisters that have come before you this morning, Lord, that you will help them in every area. Help us in every area that we struggle with. Give us tender hearts, Lord, to allow for your correction, to allow for your Holy Spirit to come and tug and to come and pull and to come and move. And I pray, Lord, for great faith to rise again in your children, to say no to things that are keeping us from walking in the fullness that you have for us. We lift you up this morning, Jesus. We give you the glory, honor, and the praise, and we love you, Lord. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church. You're most welcome to kindly exit the building. If there's anyone here that needs prayer, we'll...